Aussie music is something to be proud of. Wear it like a badge. Because it's Australian bands and artists that are the influences of so many other musicians the world over. So at Triple M, we're proud to be able to showcase the power of the Aussie music scene. Paying both homage to the greats that have stood the test of time, right alongside the current, the emerging, the future influences. The ones that will be next to make their mark on the global music scene. If it's Aussie and it rocks, it's right here. This is Triple M's Homegrown with Matty O.
Yes, right around the country on the Triple M network. That is 49 stations and on the Listener app. This is a treat for us. We welcome one of the hardest working bands in the country, taking their songs and live show all around the world, South Africa, Europe, America, UK, you name it, they've done it. It's a very unique live show as well, which we're going to touch on. They'll play anything that's in the vicinity of a stage. Give them a pair of drumsticks. You might see them on the roof tapping away, PA, fences, incredible, you name it. Not to mention, they've given us some incredible songs. Brother, take me out. And we're getting a brand new album too. No surprise, Rolling Stone have given it 4 out of 5 stars. No strangers to the Blues Fest stage. It's where they kick off a massive national tour. We give a very warm Triple M welcome to the one and only Pierce Brothers. Welcome to the studio, lads. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're really good at that.
Oh, yeah, wow. Well, I've had a bit of practice.
You made me a fan of this band.
I wish you could say. Actually, that's a good place to start. What is it like when you rewatch footage of your shows? Because they are quite unique. You guys are out and about. You're in the crowds. You're in things like that. When you see stuff on social media, does it feel weird?
Yeah, it depends. If I'm watching stuff from like a long time ago, then,
yeah, you sort of look at it and go, oh, come on, man. Get that extra pedal that you've been thinking about for ages.
Oh, man, I was going to say that I look at stuff from really long ago and be like, wow, you were so good looking.
We should touch on the looks things as well, because people listening right now, you are twins.
Yeah, so, identical twins, Patrick John and John Patrick.
Identical. So how's that been in the journey as well? Do you get people coming? Obviously, you must get people coming to you, thinking that you're talking to other people, vice versa.
Yeah, that does happen. That happens more often than you'd think. People would think that they're talking to one of us or that they've been talking to the other one. I mean, it's kind of just water off a duck's back at this point.
I had a moment. I'd had a bit to drink the night before. It was a couple of years ago. And I sort of started talking to someone while I was just trying to buy nachos to go home and lie down. Mm. And I was at the shops and this girl came up and she's like, oh, what's going on? Rah, rah, rah. And I was like, I already have the worst memory. So I'm trying to remember who this person
is. Of course.
So I just keep going along with the conversation. And then they're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm off to Europe next week. And they're like, oh, what for? I'm like, oh, just on a tour. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh, okay. So now I'm really lost. But yeah. I was too far into the conversation to actually figure out what was happening. So I just stuck with it.
Yeah.
Then I realized that Jack went to the gym with her. But I was already.
Oh, so it wasn't even music related. This is unfair.
And I was just too hungover. I didn't have the wherewithal just to go. So I just went, yeah, and just kept talking until I was like, I've got to go.
And now you found yourself with a gym membership now. Like, swapping it all around. Let's talk about, I saw you guys briefly at Mortyfest in Melbourne. You guys had come back from a pretty intense European tour, not to mention got pretty crook as well.
Yeah, that was quite the trip. I mean, it's interesting. The last few weeks people have been asking, what did you think of the trip? Was it fantastic? And I've been like, it was our most successful European tour ever. Yeah. Most of the shows sold out. Also, it was a pretty rough time the entire time because, you know, we got there for the first day of the London show, which is the first show. I get a call from my wife back home. The storms came through Melbourne and a tree fell on our studio at home. And so we've just been fixing it. I said, but everyone was okay. No worries, moving on. We get to the first show. Next show comes up and Pat says, look, I'm not really feeling great. By the time we get to the next show for sound check, Pat can't move. So we take him to the hospital. He shuffles in. He's got a temperature of 40 and his heart rate's 200.
So this is like full on. You're in a hospital. Oh.
Yeah, they thought he was having a heart attack or something.
They all freaked out when they got there because... When the blood pressure and stuff's that high, there could be a stroke and
also,
stuff.
Also,
wild.
This was in the middle of Germany, somewhere called Hagen, and nobody spoke English.
They all spoke English. And they come in. they speak a little bit of English. They'd be like, I'm sorry, my English isn't very good. But what's happening here is this.
When we first got in.
Yeah, they spoke, but everyone else, they'd say, I only speak a little bit of English, and they could perfectly communicate.
Anyway, so then I caught what Patrick had and was sick for the rest of the tour and had a really bad cough. But so that was the second thing that went wrong. About a couple of days after that, we just had to cancel four shows in Germany and Belgium, and we're getting back on track and we're just resting to try and get over this illness. And the bank calls me and says, "Are you in Bali right now?" I said, "No." "Well, someone has your credit card over there." I said, "Excellent. That sounds about right."
It never goes smoothly in music, does it? No. You look forward to a sold out tour and then all these things, they always happen. I mean, and it must be pretty guttering to get all that way too and have to cancel, because you guys have a huge fan base over there in Europe.
Oh, especially this time. Like, last time we'd gone over, it was just after COVID. And I think there was still a bit of a hangover from that. So there wasn't quite as many tickets sold or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we kind of thought, well, maybe we've lost that moment. Maybe that's it. And then so coming back this time and having everything in those big rooms all selling out again, we were like, oh, we're back.
Nice.
So it just stung so much more losing those shows.
I was going to say, are you noticing a bit more of a hunger for music now at live shows?
Yes.
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Like, it feels like a lot of the momentum that we thought was gone forever is not at all. It was just a bit of a lull.
Just a bit of a dip.
Just a bit of a dip.
Well, it's just like everyone had, I guess.
Hey, well, let's talk about this album. It's the fourth. Yeah. The reviews are coming in hot. Like, this is... the momentum is pretty exciting. I mean, what's it feel like to be at this point in your career now and it's looking like this is going to be the biggest release that you've had? Like, it's pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, it's kind of surreal that, you know, when we're recording it, we were in our own, you know, the studio that had the tree fall on it. We were recording out of there and we stepped into a producer's role this time. And so we were just focusing on trying to be as honest to our live sound as possible.
Yeah.
And what we've often done in the past is tried to steer away from going too much down this avenue. So let's try and do something a bit left of center and do this. And then when we got into the studio this time, we said, let's just try and like do as much fun and as much of this live vibe as we can.
Let's just lean into the live thing.
Yeah.
And lean into that folk thing a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we, and it really came together in this album that we didn't know was going to be so rich and big, especially with us in the producer's chair for the first time. And now the fact that, you know, it's getting quite a lot of cred already, we're pretty excited about.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you guys are in the bubble, so you get like your perspective, but, you know, we're hearing from people as well about this release, which is super exciting. And how cool is it to play these songs at bloody Blues Fest? You know what I'm saying? Now, can we talk about how you guys are getting a Blues Fest?
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing like a few little busks and stuff for the release week. We're going to do a little road trip on the way back down.
Yep.
So we need to get a car there, and Jack has two kids, so I drew the short straw of driving the car up to Blues Fest, and by the time we went to book flights for Jack, there was no flights left. So Jack's flying. I've got the 25-hour drive up.
Yep.
And Jack is flying business on the day of.
This is exactly how everything should run at all times. I think we can all agree.
Now, Regan and Dave, your managers, might be listening to this. Are they going to agree? Do you have any messages for them?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll see you guys soon.
Yeah.
They live up that way.
Exactly.
Let's keep them coming, guys. Let's keep these flights coming.
It must be exciting to kind of, like you said, you know, play at Blues Fest. You know, you guys are no strangers to this festival and to play new music. And you know, I'm always telling people to go because it's quite a unique festival, isn't it? You've got kids, you've got people that are a bit older, family, friends. There's nothing else like
it. It's excellent. It's such a music lovers festival, you know. It's there's other big festivals which is sort of a party town and stuff like that. This is just so full of so many different types of acts.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing Taj Mahal. He's one of my highlights at Blues Fest, and it was just you could hear a pin drop, and it was just some of the most beautiful music getting around. And then we went from that to like St. Paul and the Broken Bones straight afterwards, and that was just absolutely outrageous. You know, it's fantastic. It's such a good festival.
We last time we actually played Blues Fest, it was just after we were coming out of COVID, and I got COVID that week, so I couldn't make it, and we couldn't pull out.
I remember that, actually.
So Patrick played solo, and we were playing on the main stage and everything, and we were so excited to get up. We even got we got our older brother, Justin, who the song's about, to get up and play a guitar solo, and I was like looking forward to it all year. I was like, you know, getting you up on main stage at Blues Fest, whatever, and then I got sick, so this time Yeah, I'm staying home for the next week.
Yes. Stay away from him.
Your flying business.
Stay away from him. Yes, you're flying.
You've got to enjoy yourself.
Did you have to like play it down as well? He's like, hey, how's Blue Station? Yeah, like, bro,
I called him and he's like, how'd
I was FaceTiming the whole time. Yeah. And in tears.
Kim Churchill got up and played with us. My brother-in-law, who was our tour manager, he's a drummer, so he got all Jack's parts. Like about three people took over just to get Jack's bit. So it all worked, but... Oh, man, I did not enjoy talking to you afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was so sad.
I can't wait to get back and play it. We've got two shows there. One of them's on the Delta stage on the Saturday night.
Yep.
And then on the Sunday on the main stage.
Awesome.
During the days. Oh, yeah, exactly. So we do it the night before and then get read up to do it the next day around 11 a.m. or midday. Is it midday?
Yeah, great.
And then we're done. You know what I mean? Then we just get to enjoy the festival and one of the best festivals in the country, having all our work finished and then just wander around on cloud nine.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Well, talk to us about this tour, man. Like, it must be getting hard to pick a set list, but how good is it to go to these places? You know, on Cairns, Sunshine Coast, you're going everywhere.
WA,
you
excited to bring the show? We haven't been in ages, so we're stoked to be getting back to WA and doing some shows there.
We're still adding shows as well. I mean, you know, not that it's all confirmed or something, but we might even have a snow show this year. So it's...
Oh, nice. That's not confirmed yet.
No, exactly. I didn't say which snow show. It could be any one of the three places that you could do it at.
Are you guys riding on the road? Like, how does it work, the songwriting process?
So Jack's really good at this. So Jack will sit down and he'll write and then go, I'm a bit stuck here, but I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to see it through and I'm going to get something. And then we'll both sit down and work on it and work out the kinks and figure it out.
Oh, cool.
What I do is I go, oh, this is a really cool idea. And then I hit my first roadblock and go, the dopamine ran out. I give up and then I just move on with my life. I've got about 200 ideas that I really just need to sit down and figure out.
Yeah.
And it's a real skill to actually just get past those hurdles.
What about the
Jack
live?
Is good at.
Yeah. What about the live show as well? Like incorporating what you do in the studio and knowing what to add, because like you said, it's a very unique live show.
We're still stupidly adding instruments. Like now we're bringing a Nashville tuned guitar in, which is, you know, like a 12 string. For those listening at home, if you think of a 12 string guitar, you got all the high strings and the low strings. Well, this just takes just the six high strings and that's like a six string. And then putting that on top of the normal. Yeah. Like that's the new one that we're doing now.
Yeah, for a two-piece, we have way too many things.
Way too many things. Like it's ridiculous.
I carry, you know, the mandolin for two songs. We only ever play one of them these days on the. So that's coming with us. And I don't play mandolin.
What the other song is that you play mandolin on?
Juno.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
I play, but I don't know what any of the chords are in mandolin. We were just like one day, do you know what would sound great on this? A mandolin.
Yeah,
so we went and got one. And then we figured out these chords that sounded good. Yeah, we should do that. And then if you ask me what those chords are, I'd be like,
When it comes to musical instruments with us, we've got that sort of how hard can it be, Gene? Where it's essentially, look, we want that sound. All right, well, let's just get that. Let's learn up until the point where we can get that little bit and nothing else. So everyone's like, you play so many instruments. We're like, not really. So, I play a bunch of songs that have those instruments in there. That's it.
So how many items are we checking on now? What are we up to?
I think 16.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, yeah, except that's bringing everything quite down. Like we've got these big soft custom made soft cases that hold three guitars a piece in them.
Yeah.
And we've got two of those going.
Sorry. So
and plus hardware that goes in there. So that's about seven pieces alone.
I reckon if we did it the old way, we used to be wrapping stuff at the airport.
Of
like
course.
We'd carry cellophane around with us and do the whole thing.
You remember
thing.
Those days?
Oh, absolutely, man. Feels like yesterday, doesn't it? So when you guys travel, I was actually catching up with John Butler and I asked him because he was doing some solo shows and he was bringing the family on. I'll quickly play this snippet for you because I want to see if you guys do this too.
In WA, I get to go on the road with my wife and my daughter's in her band at the moment.
Oh, cool.
My son's homeschooling at the moment.
Yeah.
So literally, we're like slim dusting this shit around.
So do you guys take the family on the road for any of these shows? Or would it just be the two of you? I mean, obviously, you're business class, so...
Yeah,
that's a whole different.
Well, I've got two kids, and if this is the precedent that we're setting, then we're flying them business class everywhere from now on.
I'm broke.
I think that this is a great way to ruin our careers. No, it's definitely something that you know, my kids turning four and turning is about 18 months. And so it's something we've literally talked about when next year when we go back to Europe, we said let's
get a bus
to bring them on the bus.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, and
especially if we do the Star Bus. which is like the sort of big bedroom at the back and then the bunks.
Oh, cool.
Jack and the family can just take the big bedroom and the crew can be on the bunks.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be the dream. I mean, I know John Butler did that all over. He took his family with him forever and they said it was a really hard choice. But I mean, that's the biggest hurdle for me as we get older in these days for touring is being away from my family because that's obviously my number one priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. The days of 8-week tours are kind of done until we can start bringing them with us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but then they might be done for you. You might be like, I'm not doing 8 weeks of Jack's kids.
I love those kids. Granted, I see them about 2 hours at a time. They love me.
Well, this is a good place to start. Why don't we talk to it? So this is a game that we prepared for you guys. What I've done is I've gone through your gig history, Jules and myself, and we've plucked out random gigs from your past. Now, I want to see what you guys remember about these shows. Now, it might not be the actual gig. It might be going toing and froing. It might be you meeting someone at a gig.
So we can punch up backstage.
Yeah, we can talk about that too. So we're going everywhere, but I think it is important to start with your roots and where I remember seeing you guys for the first time on Bourke Street performing and busking alongside the likes of... we had Tash in as well for a full co-host and just singing your praises. Big brothers, they call you. So, I mean, tell us about growing up and busking in Melbourne and to where you are now and being alongside artists like Tash.
Yeah, I mean, it all started really with our managers, Riggs and Dave. They used to be in Bonja.
Yep.
They were buskers. And then, you know, this is what, 2011, 2012, we were like, hey, you know, they just said, get out busking, start busking. And this is around the time I sort of met Tash. I think they might have been 15 or 16 at the time.
They were pretty young.
And we had just started getting some success busking and they came up and they said, hey, what do you reckon? And I was like, get busking. And there was this little time down there. It was like
those were the days, man.
Amistad, Tash, us, Tones, and I was working at the surf shop across the way. Like it was just this little melting pot. Woodlock was there. Like it was just this little melting pot of all these artists who have gone on to do amazing things now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, Lemon Tree Music. All started at Berkshire.
Oh, yeah.
We started Lemon Tree with our managers and then
Tash came on.
And they've just been going
from strength to strength. Kidder Alexander, Tones, Budgera.
Yeah,
exactly. It's exciting. Little Green too, big shout out.
Little Green is killing it. Death by Denim,
yeah. It's a big roster.
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys are doing really well. And obviously you're struggling to think of another one.
And you're in the industry too. all right, let's go. 2014, you played Falls Festival alongside Empire of the Summer there, JBT, our man. And these guys was getting started too. Any memories from Falls?
Yeah, we snapped three guitar strings on three different guitars and we only had one left. We were running around like headless chooks
Kim
on
Churchill
stage.
Kim Churchill sorted us out, didn't
Kim
he?
Kim Churchill was there.
He's
and
the
fixed,
nicest man.
He is
the nicest the person best. On the planet.
Absolute fairy godmother to have around. Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, he's saved a lot of PB shows.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah,
and, I remember meeting the guys in the Temper Trap and they were absolute legends.
Yeah.
We ended up writing a song with one of those guys, which was Take Me Out.
Oh, cool.
With Lorenzo.
Wow. Lorenzo, cool.
I ran into him recently and he's like, let's get back in the studio. I'm like, oh, let's definitely do that.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. And it's fun to play those big festivals. Do you remember what time you were on?
We were on in the afternoon of the Saturday, late afternoon. And then we went down.
Oh, that's awesome.
Angus and Julia were playing
later
on after us. And then but on a different stage, we were in the tent stage.
Yeah.
I remember we got a post there. We did a social media post on the lawn saying that this is just a dream come true. I can't believe we're actually here playing. You know, we first came to this festival 6 years ago. I reckon I can remember it verbatim,
awesome,
all what we said, and just how much it meant to us. And that was our highest liked post that we'd ever done. And we were talking about like, oh my God, we have 500 likes on this. And we were going around. I think in a weird way, we were more excited about, because it was that first big step into a really AAA festival.
Something was happening.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, let's go 2017, a big festival overseas, Pink Pop. Artists to play. We had Justin Bieber, Richard Ascroft. Bit of old school Kings of Leon too. And System of the Down. Talk to us about this festival. It looks bananas.
This was phenomenal. Do you remember where during Justin Bieber's set? Wait, I don't know what you're going to say. Are you talking about backstage? Yeah, okay. I've got to say, before the backstage thing happened, you can tell that story.
Come on.
But during Justin Bieber's set, we were doing this little press interview thing where we were playing some songs, and something happened where there was like some big threat. Do you remember this?
No.
And they came in and they evacuated the entire one half of the festival and pushed them all towards Justin Bieber's, except we were stuck in this little sort of unit and they had to come and guard the doors. Do you not remember that?
No.
It was wild. There was anyway, doesn't matter. You can tell your story about backstage at that festival that I made a bit of an idiot of myself.
Oh, no, I think you should tell it. I think that was fantastic. Going into Justin's compound.
Yeah, come on.
He got lost. He was coming out of the toilets. We just finished our sets. We're having a wonderful time. Patrick just got lost.
Backstage area, everyone shares except for the big headliners of the day, and they have their own compound.
Yep.
So
Patrick just happily wanders into the wrong area because, you know, it's a bit of a warren there. Yeah. And then we look around. We're like, where's Patrick? We look around. There's his security guards walking about and him going, no, I didn't mean it.
No. I'm playing at this festival. No, it's fine. I swear.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I think I am?
Yeah, exactly. And did you meet him? Did you get close to him?
No. I didn't get anywhere near close. I was just walking. And then this big bloke came up and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just walking. What are you doing?
We had a great time at that festival. That was...
It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, we were there.
Something else.
We were there at the end of our last European tour. We finished our last show and then went back to Pink Pop with Tones. Because Tones was playing there the next day.
In 2022,
and my wife came over and it was the start of my honeymoon. So the first day of our honeymoon, we went backstage and I met the guys from Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I was like, this is... met Stone Gossard.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is it. This is the best thing ever. I was like, hey, man, look, you're one of the reasons I'm in music. He's like, oh, nice one. Yeah.
See, it's those moments
and
you get,
he's
isn't
like,
it?
So what do you do? And I'm like, no, I'm done. Oh. I'm not having more of this conversation.
You went out on a high.
Yeah, I was like, I've already had a couple of drinks. I don't want to screw this up. It's just nice to meet you. I'm not going to bother you. And I walked off, and about 2 minutes later, Jack walks up to him and goes, hey, man, look, you're the reason I'm in music.
The same person. Oh,
and he's just like, you just told me that. I was like, no, that's me. No, you don't understand.
That is very, very funny.
Yeah, we're menaces at Pink Pop.
Let's go to the UK. You played a festival called Mad Cool in 2019.
Mad Cool Festival's in...
Mad Cool was...
No, this is, sorry...
Madrid.
Madrid.
Yeah, Mad Cool Madrid, yeah. So we had The Cure, 1975 as well. Iggy too?
Yeah.
And the greatest rock and roll band of all time. Told you so. The Hives. Any memories from Spain?
Oh, yeah.
That was the best backstage we've ever been to. So that has...
Unbelievable.
You're sitting on a big hill that overlooks the entire festival. The main stage is there. Bon Iver's playing. It's 38 degrees. We're sitting in a giant pool with drinks being brought to us. A guy there with is it Alberico ham or
Alberico
something?
Alberico ham. $6,000 ham is just shaving off for people.
With a sword.
Noel Gallagher's sitting in the pool next to us. We're watching... All these artists,
guys,
play.
Did you take something before this festival? It doesn't sound real.
It was insane. Like, it was, that was, and there wasn't different areas for, you know, the more famous people. Everyone was just there. Everyone was very respectful. Yeah. We were on Tasha's tour bus
that was
at the time.
Night I got a photo with Lewis Capaldi.
I got the photo with Lewis Capaldi.
Here we go. This is funny. You guys look alike so much, so you can't even, your memories are now entwined.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe I took it. Anyway, he was lovely. Yeah. It was one of those. That was a really funny night. But it was probably the sixth or seventh festival we'd done with Iggy Pop. I've yet to see that guy wear a shirt.
Even backstage.
Anywhere. I'm convinced he goes to airports with no shirt on.
Just rugged, no rugging up at all. And what would that? It would have been summer, I suppose.
Yeah,
so,
I just don't think he owns a shirt.
No one's seen him in winter. And we got to ask you about this. Just one more.
Take it away, folk style. There's a bear in there and a chair as well. There are people with games and stories to tell. Open wide, come inside. It's play school.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it was great.
It was.
No, that's so funny. I can't remember that one. What was that show again?
When an email comes through from your management and says, hey, do you guys want to play school?
No, the email from management really said, not sure if you guys would be into this, but would you be interested
and
in play school?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was like, interested? I'll do anything it takes.
Yeah.
I'll fly myself up there. Yeah. I'll walk there backwards. Yeah. I'll do what I need to.
I'll fly myself up economy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll even fly economy
for this one. Yeah. What was that like? Because music is strange like that, doesn't it? Where you get these weird kind of opportunities to do things. Like that.
Yeah. Completely surreal. Like, I was just taking videos there. Like, that was fun, sort of showing it to like Jack's kids, but like with my nieces and nephews and stuff on my wife's side, they were all just blown away. Like, there's a little video of them just sort of eating breakfast and then just going, oh, it's Pat.
Yeah.
The best thing was when we locked it in, we were flying up to the Big Red Bash. And so then on the flight home after we just locked it in, we've come off stage. We're going straight to the little private plane that they fly the artist up in. It's us. It's the waifs. It's
Troy Cassadaly.
John Williamson was there. Anyway, so we're all there. And we just run into the pub because they said, oh, you can bring some drinks on the plane if you want. So we just ran into the pub to grab some drinks, and then we'll go onto the plane. Everyone's having a bit of a good time.
Because when you're not flying business, you're flying private. Is that it?
What is it with this guy?
Anyway, and so we run into the pub, and we've just found out. We're very excited. And this is like a full outback country pub where half the town's at this festival. Yeah. And these are the locals, the really rough guys that are sitting in there. Hey, g'day, guys. What's going on? And we said, oh, mate. What's going on? You're not going to believe what's going on. We just got the best news ever. And they look kind of bemused. Oh, yeah. Go on. I was like, guys, really? You better be sitting down. I can't overstate how big this is. They're like, yeah, we'll be the judge of that, mate. I was like, we just got asked to play on Play School. And they're like, that's amazing.
Red abuse for the boys. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And then we got back to the plane and we're like, we're doing Play School. And everyone's like, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Everyone got how excited.
Everyone gets it because it's something that is so
wholesome.
Except our
keys player, who's Irish, was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, well.
But why does this matter?
But it's so something that's been so part of the lexicon in Australian media forever. And there's just something so wholesome and good about it that everybody can relate to it and say in a really earnest, positive way, that's awesome. Way to go. And it was lovely. The whole experience was
awesome.
It's our
Sesame Street.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? How do you guys go? I feel like kids would really kind of gravitate towards you. Like, you know what I mean?
We've
like,
talked about doing a kids album ever
you
since then.
Totally yeah. That's, now you that's have the platform.
Really been high on the sort of to-do list for this year is to sit down because we were thinking, well, do we actually write, just do covers of kids' songs or do we sort of take our songs and then like kidify them and then just change the words so that they're like about a little bear who wants to go and play on the street for his friends.
Totally.
And then your live show made new friends.
Your live show would be so good with all that too.
And then that's a whole tour that we just go and the best thing about it is we're in bed by six.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That does sound pretty good.
All right. One more game for you guys. I know you got a lot on with this album.
Triple M's Homegrown with Matty. It's time for
It's my party or dinner.
The lovely Jules on vocals out there. So this is called Right Party Dinner. I'm going to give you three acts and you've either got to write a song with them, party with them, or the third is you take them home to dinner. Okay, so they're picked completely at random. Right Party Dinner. Your three acts are
Better Be Home Soon.
Act number one, Crowded House. Second,
baby, I got you on my
Powderfinger. Third, so you've got to write a song with one, party with the next, the third you take home for dinner. We've got Crowded House, Powderfinger, and ACDC. Who are we writing a song with first out of those three?
I mean, you'd have to say, like, possibly the two best, like our George and Paul would be the Finn Brothers.
Okay.
Right. So writing a song with them, with Crowded House.
Man, I know that we're partying with Haka Daka. Like, I know that's the answer.
Okay, so we're both looking at
that difficult because Powderfinger are one of my favourite bands of all time.
Yeah, see, I reckon Crowded House are really a band that you take home to dinner.
Oh, Neil, that's a good story.
I don't know. Like, as much as Bernard is a great songwriter, Neil and Tim Finn, like, that's Split Enz and Crowded House. Like, think of all the songs, like Stuff and imagine writing Stuff and Nonsense or something.
Okay. All right.
We've never had a punch on this show before, but I guess you guys are brothers, so, you know, you got that kind of relationship. All right,
Let's
cool.
do it. Well, I'm walking out this door if we're not having dinner.
All right.
I got you.
Hey, lads, so much fun to have you in the studio. We've known each other for a very long time.
And
it's been really cool. Super excited about the album. Everything you guys got coming up this year. Next year sounds exciting too. And yeah, man, I can't wait to hear the album. Thank you for bringing it in on vinyl too.
Oh,
I can't wait to
have
a listen.
Thank you so much.
Yes, brothers. It's been amazing. Thank you.
It's been great.